John chapter 21. Let's just start right at the beginning. John chapter 21 and verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and yet for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. So up to this point in the narrative, now we find that the Lord Jesus has shown himself once again to his disciples, and he does so at the Sea of Tiberias, as it's called here, which was indicative of his future plans. And we find that Simon Peter now, as soon as he hears that the Lord has done this miracle, because they immediately recognize that it was a miracle, Peter makes great haste to go to the Lord Jesus. Now, what's going to happen here as we get to verse number 9 and following is that there's a cloud over Peter. Even though he's been forgiven, even though the Lord has said, Peace be unto you, Peter included, there's still this issue of his denial of the Lord. It hasn't been dealt with yet. And the last thing the Lord is going to do here in the book of John is deal with that issue. He's going to make a complete restoration of Peter, because he never does anything by halves. When the Lord undertakes to do something, he does a thorough and complete job, so that in the end, the situation comes to pass that he had desired, and not a single thing less. Now, it's very interesting that Simon Peter now, because the Lord has said unto him, Peace, as soon as he hears that the Lord is on the shore, he immediately makes great haste to go to him. So he has that knowledge that he's been forgiven, but there's still that dark cloud that's hanging there. And if you could just put yourself in Peter's place, you can imagine how he feels. It's been quite some time now since they last saw the Lord after his resurrection from the dead. And so Peter's had a great deal of time to be thinking about things. Peter, of course, is of that number that the Lord Jesus says, Peace be unto you, in his previous appearance. Thomas is there also with Peter on this little fishing journey they set off to do, and he also has been a recipient of forgiveness, because the Lord appears unto them the second time, and this time Thomas gets right with the Lord. But there's still this issue in Peter's mind, and you can imagine that this is on his mind. It's like a dark cloud is sort of hanging over him, because there's some unresolved business here. This issue of his denial has not been forthrightly dealt with, and Peter realizes that it needs to be dealt with. So let's take a little bit of time this morning and begin to entertain verse number 9. Let's read it again. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. So the first thing that Peter is going to see as he approaches the Lord Jesus on the shore is that he sees Jesus, but he also sees this fire of coals and the bread and the fish laid thereon. what do you suppose might be going through his mind? Sometimes silent messages are the best preached. He might have been thinking of that, but how do they say it in the modern parlance? I've been triggered. I think Peter at this point might be triggered. See, I figured out a way to work this in. Why would Peter be triggered? He flees to the Lord. He loves the Lord. There's no question of that, although he's going to be tried sorely here in just a few verses. He does love the Lord, and that's very clear. But he sees this fire. Put that in the back of your mind. Let's go back to John chapter 20 and verse number 19, just to underscore what I've already said. Let's start in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now Peter's included here. He's here, and he hears the Lord Jesus as the first words that he has uttered to them since he's risen from the dead is peace. Well, Peter needs that. All of the disciples need this. But Peter especially, because now we're very close to that time that Peter has denied the Lord at his trial. So it's fresh in Peter's mind. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord says peace unto him, but that doesn't remove the issue here. He realizes that he's received full forgiveness, but the issue of his denial of the Lord has not been dealt with. The Lord doesn't say anything about it at this point, other than just to utter peace, full forgiveness. Not a scolding, but full forgiveness. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and see why it's so important that Peter is dealt with. The Lord is not going to allow so large an issue to remain unresolved. Matthew chapter 16. What's the wonderful thing that happens in Matthew chapter 16 even before we read it? Since we've been here, maybe two or three times. Sure, absolutely. Peter's great confession. Let's just take a look at it. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And so upon this occasion, Peter is singled out here for something. He's already the leader of the disciples. His personality type fits him out to be the leader. But he's impetuous and he's impulsive and he's cowardly. Not a very good combination for a servant of the Lord. Nonetheless, the words of Jesus are going to stand. The Lord Jesus, once again in verse number 17, says to him, to Peter, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And he notices that he uses the name Simon. Now, the name Simon means a rock or a stone, a big one. Not as big as Petra, but a stone or a rock nonetheless. And Peter means a pebble, a small pebble. Well, he's called Simon by being named from his father, but the Lord Jesus now gives him a new name, which means a small pebble. So instantly we know in our minds that the Lord Jesus is going to perform some work to translate this big rock into a little pebble. And so we're going to see that in John chapter 21. And now the Lord is going to deal with so much more than Peter's denial of himself. He's going to deal with Peter himself as a man in the flesh. Verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a small pebble, and upon this rock myself, the Petra, the bedrock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, the issue is settled here. The church isn't built on the Pope. It's built on the bedrock of Christ himself. It's not built on Peter, who they claim is the first Pope, and he isn't. It's built on Christ himself. It's very clear here. Verse number 19 then. What about Peter then? He goes on to say in verse number 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he singles out Peter now for a certain distinction. He's later going to say the same thing to the rest of the disciples, but Peter is brought in first. Peter has a special place among the disciples. And what the Lord says here in the presence of all the disciples now underscores the fact that Peter stands out from the rest of them in a respect that they do not fully know and understand. So we find out now that Peter has the primacy here amongst the disciples. He's been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, not the keys to heaven, but to the kingdom of heaven. And we see that Peter actually uses these keys twice in his ministry, both of them after the Lord has risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. So it might be instructive if we look at those, because we want to understand in our minds that Peter's been singled out for a special place among these Jewish disciples. And the Lord makes a special case for Peter here in saying that to he will he give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at how Peter actually uses those keys, and we'll discover that it isn't as much Peter as it is the Holy Spirit. And so let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. What we're doing here is gathering all of the facts together here that are going to bear on what happens in John chapter 21. So bear that in mind. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, of course, we have the manifestation of the gift of tongues. And in verse number 14, we see Peter standing up with the 11 and lifts up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now, this is the same cowardly Peter that's going to warm himself by a fire of coals. I just gave away the secret of what triggered him. That same Peter. They're not huddled together in an upper room with the doors barred for fear of the Jews. Now Peter goes out and boldly in public in front of everybody, stands up and begins to address the nation of Israel. Verse number 15. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is Peter's message, and immediately he goes back to the prophet Joel, and he's explaining to those that are gathered together this business of the gift of tongues here by calling Joel's prophecy to witness. And it's important to understand that the Old Testament prophets often did not, because they didn't understand their prophecies themselves, make a delineation concerning time. This prophecy that's brought up here has two fulfillments that come at different times. One of them will be when the Spirit of God is poured upon all flesh, which is beginning now in Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, and the second coming of the Lord, which will be signs in heaven from Matthew chapter 24, will actually be seen by those that dwell upon the earth. So it's a twofold prophecy here, and we wouldn't know that if we didn't have the book of Revelation to fill in the timing key. And so, what does he say here? Well, he said you shouldn't be surprised by what you see going on here, because this is a very practical manifestation of the pouring out of the message of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. So tongues weren't something that just frivolously thrown in to make some kind of a circus sideshow, but it's to communicate Peter's message, because this is one of those feasts, the day of Pentecost, when they all come together to appear before the temple, all the Jewish men. And so, since the Jews have been scattered into the four corners of the earth, it's incumbent on them to make this appearance before the temple, but they're native speakers of all the languages of all the countries that they have been cast into and settled down and made a dwelling place out of it. And of course, in verse number 9 and 10 and 11, we see some of the countries mentioned that these Jews have come together from. And the miracle here is that they all hear simultaneously at once. It's a conundrum, but it's not. Peter doesn't repeat this for every language group. They all hear Peter speak, and simultaneously they hear the message in their own language. So this is a notable miracle, but it's very practical, because now we see Peter inserting one of those keys in the lock and turning it. The two places that Peter uses the keys is in his sermon on the day of Pentecost and one other time, which we'll find in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we'll start in verse number 1. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. It was not a rock band, but it was a very unpopular band in the nation of Israel, because this is the Roman occupying force. And Cornelius is an officer in that occupying force. Well, he's also one that has put his faith and trust in the Jewish God. And if we drop down now to verse number 28, we see that Peter has been summoned by the Holy Spirit now through another miracle, which you can read for yourself. But in verse number 28, Peter says unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing, that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, Peter is a Jew's Jew. But he's learned something from the miracle that precedes the passage that we're reading right now. Through a miracle, he's been shown that the message that you preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter, is not just for the Jew, but it's also for the Gentile. This is the second time that Peter inserts the keys into the lock and turns it. Verse number 29. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. This is the Peter now that has been dealt with in John chapter 21. That prideful Peter, who would never have thought to come into the company of a Roman soldier, let alone their commander. So the Holy Spirit has dealt with Peter here, and part of the dealing that makes Peter able to overcome his own prejudice takes place in John chapter 21. And then, additionally, he still has to be dealt with in Acts chapter 10. And once again, you can read that for yourself. Verse number 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, and when he cometh, he shall speak unto you. So it's interesting here that this angelic messenger says to Cornelius, go call Simon, whose surname is Peter. Both names are used here, and once again, this is indicative of something that's going to be taken care of in John chapter 21. Peter needs to be prepared to come to this moment. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? And so Cornelius now gives Peter the floor. And it isn't just Cornelius here, but he's assembled his whole household. This is a man of some renown. And so it isn't just he that worships the God of the Jews, Jehovah, but his entire household has followed him. And so Cornelius gets them all assembled together and says to Peter, say on. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he hath that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. And so Peter is saying here, you know about this. You've no doubt heard about this. So Cornelius hasn't put together in his mind that that message has anything to do with him as a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel. And now Peter is going to say that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, Cornelius, you actually were included in the message. Verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And of course, Cornelius would have known that. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which were believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Peter now has the humility to realize that God can save whoever he desires to save, be it Jew or Gentile. This would have been a bitter thing for Peter if he hadn't been dealt with in John chapter 21. So the stage now is being set here for what we're going to see happen in John chapter 21. So Peter now, he's a very proud man, but we see that because of the work that gets done here, he actually is able to go to the house of Cornelius, and he is able to understand and believe that God has the Gentiles in view with the plan of salvation as well as the Jew, and he goes so far as to say, why should they not be baptized? They believe just like we. We see the sign here of they speaking with the Holy Ghost. This had to have been astounding to the Jewish company that's come with Peter. Remember, they didn't see the vision on the housetop that Peter did. But they see what Peter's doing here. They had to have been astounded. Their pride now has been assailed because this is the great stumbling block for the Jew. The idea that God would save the Gentiles was totally abhorrent to Jewish pride. They couldn't deal with this, and they still can't deal with it to this very day. They're the enemies of Christ, and because he wanted to save the Gentiles, they have become the enemies of the Gentiles. That's why Paul tells us in that place in the book of Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11, that for the sake of the Lord Jesus, the Jews are our enemies. but their beloved for their father's sake. God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's faithful, and he will keep those promises. Okay, let's press on just a little bit. Peter and his problem with pride. And we'll start in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. It's taking a while to get the stage set here, but it's important that you understand these things so that you'll know what is taking place in John chapter 21, because it's important, and the entire future of the gospel message is going to depend on it, because Peter has to use those keys, but he has to be prepared before he's going to be able to use those keys. So Luke chapter 22 then, and we'll start reading in verse number 24. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse number 24. And there was also a strife among them, the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest. You see pride coming in already? And he said unto them, Jesus, verse 25, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But among ye it shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. So the Lord is reminding them of his place of humility. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. More of that in the book of Revelation. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he uses his original name, Rock, Rock, pay attention. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. This had to have been a very sobering moment for Peter. And what's the backdrop of it? They're arguing over who's going to be the greatest among them. Who's going to be the greatest disciple? Who loves Jesus the most? Well, Jesus points out to them that, if you had a little humility, you would understand what I'm doing here, serving you. This is the God of heaven. This is Jehovah God himself come down in human flesh, and he's acting as a servant to these disciples. But they don't get that. They're just lifted up with pride about who's going to be the greatest among them. And there's a special message here for Peter. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here we find that Peter gets a special message against the backdrop of who's going to be the greatest among us, because he's already the accepted leader. The Lord has already said that he's given Peter these keys to the kingdom of heaven, and so Peter is going to need a bit of an attitude adjustment here, because Peter, like the rest of the disciples, has also failed to realize that the Lord has humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. Well, he's going to be dealt with. All right. He's going to need a full restoral before he can go on and do the job that we see him doing at Cornelius' house. And even then, we're going to see the dregs of the old Simon in his character. Let's see if we can flesh this out a little bit further. He needs a full restoral. So let's go back to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and we'll get back to Peter being triggered. teachers always need a device here to get your attention. I thought Peter being triggered might just do that. John chapter 21 and verse number 9 then. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now remember, Peter gets there before the rest. The rest are still dealing with the net here, and they can't lift it into the boat, so they get out of the boat and just drag the net to land, and they hope to deal with the fish in that respect. That takes a little bit of time. So Peter comes up by himself here and comes upon this scene by himself, because there's a special message here that is especially for him. And what does he see? Well, he sees this fire of coals, which triggers him to remember something that we might find a hint of in John chapter 18. So, let's go there. What triggers Peter here? And it's going to set the basis for what Jesus says to Peter just a few verses later in John chapter 21. So John chapter 18 and verse number 14. John chapter 18 and verse number 14. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter, both names being used here, followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So Peter and John are following the Lord Jesus. Verse number 16, they split up at this point, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Well, we know what happens here. The threefold denial of Peter that he even knew the Lord, and the last one comes even with an oath. So now Peter comes and sees a fire of coals and the Lord Jesus, and as I said a moment ago, sometimes the silent message makes the most impact on us. What would Peter have been thinking about? There's a cloud over his head already concerning this matter that hasn't been fully dealt with yet. He knows that he's been forgiven. The Lord has said, Peace be unto you, Peter included. But there's still this issue of his denial. Now, John boldly goes right in with the Lord Jesus into the high priest's presence. But Peter now is hanging back outside, and he's standing by this coal of fires, warming himself with the Lord's enemy. So I think we can understand now that when Jesus is seen by the shore, and Peter comes up and sees this fire of coals, his conscience is pricked now. It's deja vu all over again. That sets the stage for what's coming next. Let's go back to the book of John and chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse number 9. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and we've already commented on this, so we won't spend any time here this morning. What the disciples couldn't do by themselves, Peter now goes and does all alone, because now he's acting on the word of the Lord. The Lord said, Bring those fishes and bring them to me. So Peter goes up and with this superhuman strength, now draws the net up, and not just draws it up, but he brings the fish to the Lord Jesus. And in verse number 12, Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, and now remember that eating is an act of fellowship. So all of them are gathered together here. The bread and the fish are on the fire. The Lord breaks the bread, as is his custom, and gives it to them. Simon Peter included himself, whose conscience has been pricked now by this memory of a fire of coals. It's a familiar scene, almost. But you can be sure that he's thinking about it. The conscience is doing its job, the job that it was designed to do. So after they've dined, after they've had this fellowship in this communal meal, Jesus now says to Simon Peter, now here it comes. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He doesn't scold Peter and say, why did you betray me? He just asks a simple question. Simon, son of Jonas. Notice the name that he uses here. Not Peter. But Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, commentators are kind of divided here, and I understand that because I saw this in the way that some commentators did about 40-some years ago. But he asked Peter a question here. Do you love me more than these? He could have been referring to the fish. He could have been referring to, Peter, do you love me enough to give up your fishing business and follow me? Am I more important to you than the business of catching fish? Well, Simon Peter would have known, had that been the case, I don't think it is now, but had that been the case, Simon Peter would have remembered that they'd already forsaken all and followed Jesus a long time before that. Now, they've drifted back into the old way here of going fishing for fish instead of fishing for men. That's true. But Simon Peter could have seen it that way. But now that we have laid this groundwork, and I know I've spent, 40 minutes laying the groundwork to what is about to happen here, because it's of great importance. The Lord is saying to Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples? That's going to take us back to the foundation that we've already laid. You say that you love me. Do you really love me more than these other disciples? What do you think comes into Peter's mind right then and there? Boom. The other shoe has dropped. Now we're going to deal with this unfinished business of Peter's pride leading him into the place he finds himself now. Because until Simon becomes Peter, he's not going to be of much use to the Lord at all. Excuse me. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Well, we're out of time for this morning, but hopefully now you've filed all of this groundwork in your mind. Because that's what's going to lead up to what the Lord is going to do to deal with Peter here, to make him a fit subject to preach this message on the day of Pentecost, and then to go down to the house of Cornelius and use the other key that the Lord has already given him. So did Peter's denial of the Lord as he warmed himself by the coal of fires of the enemy, did that change the Lord Jesus' plans in any way? No, he already knew what was going to happen here. And he's already warned Peter that Satan wants to get hold of you so that he can sift you as wheat. But remember, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Faith is the key here. And Simon Peter does have faith. That can't be questioned. What's the upshot going to be? Well, stay tuned. Let's pray.